to another episode of Stephen A's World, the podcast. This week is all about Hollywood, as we have three big-time actors for you. First up is Anthony Mackie. The new movie, Outside the Wire, we bring in the one and only Anthony Mackie. You know, I don't even know what to say. I mean, looking at your bio, I mean, go back. She Hate Me, The Hate You Give, Papa Doc on 8 Mile, all the Captain America movies. It just seems nonstop. Congratulations with this latest movie. Tell us about it for a second.
Oh, man, thank you so much, bro. It's a little ditty of I play Sergeant Leo, and basically I enlist Lieutenant Harp, who's played by Damson Idris, to come and help me infiltrate this cell to take down these bad guys who are trying to get nukes and bomb the world.
Now, listen, here's the deal. I'm watching it. You did a great job, fantastic job, as always, because you're one of the phenomenal actors in Hollywood. They don't talk enough about you. They're going to start talking a lot more about you. But, I mean, I know you had skills from the Captain America movies. I didn't know I would see this kind of skill right here. What you been doing? What workout tips? What, I mean, was it martial arts? Was it boxing? What the hell were you doing?
Yo, man, believe it or not, I was doing a lot of yoga, man. I was doing yoga and jiu-jitsu because, you know, the character I play is a robot. He's a cyborg. Right. So, you know, robots have a very distinct way, a very staccatic way of moving. So I wanted to get that herky-jerky motion in my movement. Because, you know, brothers, when we dancing, no matter what we do it in a fluid nature. So I had to take it more icky-sticky.
I feel you on that. But let me ask you this question. Looking at this and then just spanning your career, your rise is obvious. It's too conspicuous to ignore. Talk to me about how you're feeling about your career at this point in time right now. You seem to really be thriving at a particular time in our history.
I feel great about it, man. I think there's so much more for me to do. You know, I've been fortunate to be in the titles that I've been in the position I've been in, being 20 years in the business, 21 years to be exact. But the place that I'm in now is a good place because I finally get to tell the stories that I want to tell as a producer, you know, doing the banker, doing this, you know, working on this movie that I'm working on about Johnny Cochran. It's finally in a position where I get to do the movies and tell the stories that I want to do and tell.
I'm glad you brought up The Banker. That was what you with Samuel L. Jackson. I love that movie, too. Let me not forget that. But looking at the times that we're living in right now, it seems to be a time where Black Hollywood is really gaining more shine than ever before. Do you find that to be the case? I know there's still a lot more work to do, but how do you feel about the progress African Americans are making in Hollywood at this particular moment in time?
Well, I think it's huge, man. You know, and I don't think it's something that just started. I think if you look at Hollywood in general, you know, we went through the 80s, 90s, where we had Love Jones, we had all the Morris Chestnut, Vivica Fox movies, we had all the Nia Long movies, we had the, you know, the Boys in the Hood, all those movies. Hollywood goes in ebbs and flows. And before that, we had the Black exploitation, we had, you know, all the movies that came with the Richard Roundtrees and the Shafts and all those. So, you know, we're just getting in our third wave now of what this generation of Black Hollywood is going to look like and what it's going to do.
Let me transition to the basketball court. Has the Zion Williamson rage diminished or dissipated a little bit? Or are y'all all still in love with him the way that y'all were last year? I know the kid is incredibly talented, bright future. But what's the thought process? What are we hearing in New Orleans about Zion Williamson these days?
Oh, man, you know, Zion is the baby in the king cake, bro. We gonna always love Zion the same way we always love AD. You know, is the thing we need to do is learn how to win. We have a very young team, but we have some beasts on that team. Nobody thought Ingram was going to be dropping 25 and 10 a game. You know, it's like we have some great players on that team. They just need to learn how to win.
I got you. Before I let you get on out of here, I know you Sergeant Leo in the new movie, you know, on Netflix. We get all of that. Captain America movies. What can we expect in the future? We used to seeing Falcon. We kind of like Falcon. I mean, are you transitioning? Are you switching characters? You gonna become Captain America? What's in the future, Anthony Mackie? What's in the future?
Hey, man, if Marvel give me the opportunity to take up that mantle, I would greatly appreciate it and wear that shield with pride.
Big thanks to Anthony Mackie. Now to a co-worker of Anthony Mackie's. We have Damson Idris, who was also on Outside the Wire. We get into that, Snowfall, and much, much more. I'm always amazed because obviously you were born in London, England, and you still live over there. You go back and forth. I know that. But I'm amazed at how folks from London, England, the accent, how it just completely disappears. You don't hear that on Snowfall. You don't hear all of that. How do y'all pull that off? Teach me how to do it. Could you do that?
There's many different ways, man. For me specifically, I used to watch a lot of Def Comedy Jam. So I'd be on Def Comedy Jam for hours looking at, I scared you, Mo. You know, like I'll be looking at Bernie Mac, Chris Tucker, everyone. And I'll be performing it for my family over Christmas right. gatherings. But with Snowfall specifically, I have my man Dub C to thank, man, because he really coached me through how to talk the right way. Feel me?
Right. I feel you. I feel you. Talk to me about what Snowfall has done for you. Obviously, it's been a very, very successful show. You're in season 4, debuts Wednesday. Just put in perspective what you believe it's done for your career. We can all speculate about it, but from your words, what has it done for you?
I'd say the biggest thing Snowfall's done for me is it's become my foundation. So the method and the rituals I do in approaching the work and approaching how I flesh out a character, a lot of it I learned from being put into the deep end and being a lead on an FX show. I came in really green, and through the fourth season, I believe I'm getting better through every season. And the work I do outside it, whether it's Black Mirror to Outside the Wire to Twilight Zone to Farming, I'm approaching it with that same foundation. So that's what Snowfall's taught me, and that's what John Singleton taught me.
You're an educated brother. You think deeply. You pay attention to a lot of things that's going on. Obviously, this show basically is about the inception, you know, just the beginning of the whole crack epidemic in South Central L.A. and throughout Los Angeles. And if you watch the show, that's really, really what it alludes to on a lot of different occasions. I'm thinking about season 4 and talking about when Ronald Reagan was the president, for crying out loud. It's a lot of stuff that I'm paying attention to in regards to that. The storytelling in this show, to me, is absolutely amazing. How does it affect you as a Black man talking about these kind of things, depicting some of the drug dealers that have taken place, you know, that have existed and what have you, just that whole culture, that whole lifestyle? What has that experience been like for you?
It affects me in different ways, but it pushes me to be a better person. I think we're all we've all looked at crack in a certain way. You know, even when you was growing up, it was one of the biggest insults you can get. Oh, your mom is a crackhead. And then everyone would laugh and stuff. Well, I don't see it as a criminal thing anymore. I see it as a health crisis. And I see those people as being victims. And I see drug dealers as victims who, you know, you need to look at it. In the 80s, many of them got into selling crack because they wanted to better their situation and improve their communities and get their moms out the hood. It wasn't so they could be violent or wear a chain and have fast cars, you know? So I feel like to today, it's a different perspective. I understand that the system was really up against these people and they had no choice but to embark on this. Some went that way, some went this way. But in 2021, I think we could all watch a show like Snowfall, learn about this history, and then at the same time, walk down Skid Row in LA and have a deeper empathy for the people that are on those streets.
And you're talking about what transpired. Again, this show alludes to what was transpiring in the city of Los Angeles, being from London, England. I mean, for those of us that don't know, sitting here in America, we don't have a damn clue about London, England. I mean, educate us about any similarities or how big of a difference it is being there compared to being here.
It's exactly the same, man. Only difference is the accent. And you guys' food portions are huge. I grew up in Peckham. So Peckham, Brixton, Tottenham, Harlesden, Streatham, they're all South Central Brooklyn equivalents. And it's the same themes. It's the same struggling mothers. It's the same absent fathers. It's the same unemployment. It's the same racism. It's the same police brutality. Comes in different forms. But I think the previous summer that we had and Black Lives Matter has proven that this is a world global problem. And as Black people, many of our issues are very similar. So that unity brings us close together. And together, we are stronger.
Black is universal. Bottom line, that's basically what you're saying. Let me go back to Outside the Wire, because you and Anthony Mackie did a phenomenal job in that movie as well. Talk to me about when you thought the connection was there because we could see it and y'all really vibed well together. I could tell y'all probably get along great off camera as well, probably still communicating all the time. Knowing Mac and the way he rolls, your personality seems to fall right in line with how he is. Talk to me about y'all relationship real quick.
It was amazing, man. Mackie's like my big brother. Although he's lost the New Orleans accent, man, every day I'll be like, yeah, baby. So I'll be hitting him with a, hey, what's up, man? You heard me? Every day I'll be teasing him. We'll be smoking cigars and you know, heading down to the Bob Nero Hotel and drinking some red wine. We clicked, man. But aside from that, this is a man who has over 70 movies in this industry and is still happy. And that's what he taught me. There's a lot of people who have a lot of money, have a lot of fame, but they're not happy. Mackie is, and hopefully one day I could be too. So that's just the juice of codes that he taught me, bro.
I was getting ready to ask you, if you had to pinpoint the biggest advice he's given you, what was it?
Man, everyone you meet on the way up, you're going to meet on the way down, you know? And I'm 29 now, so I'm approaching 30. I've been working in Hollywood since like 2015. I've met a lot of people, and I've seen in that time them transition star and in light form and how relationships change and how they speak to you in a different way when you're now in a position you're in. I think the most important thing Mackie taught me is to be humble all throughout that. And that's what I'm doing, whether I'm a star on Snowfall or not working at all.
I got another question to ask you about, you know, just about Snowfall. But before I get to that, hearing you're a big soccer fan, Manchester United, you love your soccer. You had aspirations for being a soccer player. I'm assuming you've given all of that up now that you are a superstar in Hollywood, sir, because you are. Talk to me for a second about Manchester United. I'm not big on soccer. I'm not big on soccer, Damson, but I'm going to flow with you. Sell me on it.
That's my team. That's my team. You feel me? I'm not gonna lie, Steve. I'm a glory hunter, man. Because I think back, why do I say United? It's because when I came out the womb, they were winning. You know. So I'm a nice. But I've stuck with them. You know, the whole way. Shout out to my man Rashford. He's killing it. Bruno killing it. Pogba. I've never been to a game though.
Yeah, what is that about?
Have you never been to a game? I know. I was too broke. I didn't have no money. Still don't have no money.
You ain't broke now. You're not broke. Stop lying. You're not broke now. Stop that.
See this coat? But I'm getting into basketball soon, though. You probably don't co-sign me supporting the Lakers right now, though, do you?
I don't mind. I mean, I think Brooklyn right now, they might take them. But that's because Anthony Davis got to get healthy. If Anthony Davis is 100%, it might be a different ballgame. But without Anthony Davis, Lakers got no shot. You might want to wait a year to start rooting for them. You might want to wait a year.
Hey, Franklin's in L.A., so I'll be in L.A. too, you know?
You know what? One of the questions before I let you get on out of here, too. I've always wanted to. Guys from England, tell the truth. Y'all don't consider National Football League in America. Y'all don't consider that real football. Y'all is soccer, right? Y'all have a problem with them calling themselves football, don't y'all? Tell the truth. Y'all really do.
I have a problem with it, man. We got to talk about it. We got to change that name. Handball, something. Fingerball. Think of something else, man. Football is our thing. You use your feet. So it's called football. You guys use your hand, you throw. Call it throwball. I still love it, though. But, yeah, change the name.
You know, I never thought about that. They in football, they do use their hands more than their feet. That's a very valid point. I got it. Hey, listen, man. You're a star in this business. You've been doing phenomenal work. You've always got a home here. Keep up the great, great work, man. Real proud of you and what you're doing. All the best to you.
God bless you, man. Thank you so much.
Our final guest is Morris Chestnut, and we get into him playing the bad guy in movies, his podcast, and just how good is he at basketball. You seem to love taking on the role of a bad guy. Talk to me about that for a second. Why is that the case?
That was one of the main reasons why I wanted to take this role is because it was an opportunity to play something different. You know, I've been blessed to play a lot of characters that people root for. And this was a chance for me to play a character a little bit different than what I'm used to playing, a little different than type that people normally expect from me. And for me to pull it off, I kind of, you know, it's one of those things to where when I see people and they tell me, because I used to see people all the time in the street, they say, hey, hey, I loved your movie, Tyrese, or hey, I loved you and Stella Holiday got a groove back. You know, so I'm like, oh, well, I'm not that. But when I see, when they see me on the street now and they say, hey, I just want your character to stop messing around, start treating people better, I know they're really watching the show.
I am unapologetic about the fact, even though I got love for everybody, I love Black Hollywood. I don't feel y'all get enough shine, not nearly as much. Oh, and you're one of the key figures in all of that with the great work that you've been doing spanning 3 decades now, as far as I'm concerned. People don't forget, Boys in the Hood came out in 1991. Now, me, I'm partial to The Best Man. You know I loved you on The Best Man, okay? I absolutely, positively loved it. When you think about the roles that you've played throughout these years, what's been your favorite?
Ooh, you know, see, for me, I enjoy the roles. Like, I enjoy the role in The Best Man. I enjoy my time as Boys in Hood. But when I think about projects, I normally think about the experience that I had on set and with the cast, with the directors. And The Best Man was one of my favorite experiences. It was one of my first times being in New York for like 3 months at a time. Mm-hmm. You know, at that time, I'll never forget. So I had only gone, prior to that, I had gone for the Boys in the Hood premiere, which was only like, I was only there for like a day. And I'd gone for an audition, which I was only there for like a day. So when we shot the Best Man, I was there for 3 months. And it was just the vibe, the energy. And then us as a cast, it was just a great time getting together. And by the way, you know, we're about to get ready to do that again.
Well, you know, you got to have it again. A third one and a fourth one. Don't ask me. There's a couple of plots. Me personally, I wouldn't mind seeing you get with Sanaa Lathan just to get back at Taye Diggs' character. It wouldn't bother me at all if you really want me to throw a twist into it.
Okay, I'll bring that up to Malcolm because this one is going to be on a streaming platform. So we're going to get multiples like back to back to back. And I'll bring that up to Malcolm Lee and see what he says.
Well, hell, I mean, what's the problem? You're already a bad guy in The Resident, right? I mean, you'd be a bad guy to some degree in that, in some people's eyes anyway. But as you look ahead to all the things that have happened in your career and the direction that it's going in, is there something that you haven't done that you would like to do? Because considering all the great work that you've done, it seems like you've done it all. Mm-hmm.
You know, I have been very blessed. I think right now I have a project that's out, a podcast called Jesus and Big Joe. Podcast with a great young producer named Kyle Hogan. It's my first podcast that I've been able to produce, and I'm somewhat of a voice in there as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited about that. And I just want to, I really, my next step in this journey is to be an on-set producer. So I've been a producer of films that, you know, I've come up with the concept and the studios made the film and I wasn't there. I've been a producer on a film to where I'm the lead of the film and I'm just a producer and I'm also the producer. I want to be an on-set producer where I take the project from beginning to end all the way as an on-set producer. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
And what made you go this venture of a podcast per se? I mean, like I said, it's faith-based. It's Jesus and Fat.
Yes.
I wanted you to talk to me. Why did you decide to go in that direction?
It was one of the things that I was looking for something to do. When I was shooting a movie, I mean, I was shooting a TV show in New York, and someone introduced me to the Aaron Hernandez podcast. And at first, he was like, "Hey, you should listen to this podcast." I'm like, "I'm not really that into it," but I said, "Okay, you know, since he suggested it." I listened to it and I was just riveted by the story because at that time there was so much information and the way that they told the story was something I hadn't really, you know, I hadn't really been interested in. And when I heard that, I was excited. So I was looking for something to do like that. And when I met Kyle Hogan, he presented this opportunity to me. He was telling me about the story and he was just so passionate. There's a lot of intricacies in the stories that I really, really wanted people to understand and know. And so I just had to jump on.
Well, listen, that's not the only thing you produce. If I recall, you produced Spell, right, with Amari Hardwick. Didn't you do that?
That's right, yes. Yeah, Spell was a project that someone came to me with a concept for a script. He let me read the script. It really wasn't what I was looking for. And so he came to me and said, well, what do you want to do? And my manager, Brian Wilkins, and I, we had a concept for a movie. And we talked to him about it. We got the writers and cultivated the material, and then we sold it. Cast Amari.
By the way, let me transition a little bit to On the Field, because in the Best Man Holiday, you showed some skills. You know, now you were wearing, it looked like a Giants uniform, even though you're an Eagles fan, but that's a subject for another day. What I'm asking is, what kind of training, all you guys, y'all make me sick because I can't be around y'all because y'all make me look bad because I'm out of shape compared to y'all. But in that particular role, you sat up there, you looked in phenomenal shape, you had a scene there where you had your shirt off with the six pack showing. I mean, could you talk about that a little bit? What kind of skills, what kind of basketball or football skills do you have, Morris Chestnut?
Okay, so football was my first love, but I just can't stay off the basketball court right now. I love playing basketball. I mean, I haven't played since the pandemic hit. It's something that I like to do for my cardio. You know, you and I share the same trainer, Obi Obadike. He got me hot for he got me ready for the Best Man. Yeah. But what I like to do, instead of just getting on the treadmill, I like to play basketball. And you know, I'm kind of like a 3-and-D guy. You know, I'll stay outside, I'll shoot the three and play a little defense. I have to make a business decision. I don't drive down low too much.
No, you have to make a business decision. Do you have a jump shot? Do you have a jump shot? I'm putting you on the spot here because I might show up to the gym one day this summer. I might show up.
Okay, I want you to do that. I will say this. I can say that there are people who go to the gym and they'll leave and say, oh, that brother can't shoot. And then there are people who go to the gym and say, he just does not miss. So I have good days and I have bad days and I'm just inconsistent. But, you know, I think right before the pandemic, I had just got my jumper down to where, you know, look, there are some days when I'm coming across court and, you know, you're going to have to, you know, come across half court and you might need to pick me up. You know, you might need to pick me up some days. Yeah, well, I'll show you one day.
All right. Proud of you, boy. Dr. Barrett Kane from The Resident. Keep doing your thing, by the way. Best Man Holiday. And the next one better not be the last one. Y'all need a few more of those. But you with Sanai Lathan, I mean, that's not a bad role to play. I mean, it's not a bad role.
I'll put it in. I'll put it in the suggestion box.
All right, my brother. Take it easy, man. Good talking.
I appreciate you, Tim. Thank you, man. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Big shout out to Anthony Mackie, Damson Idris, and Morris Chestnut. Damn it, these guys know how to act. I'll give them credit for that. And reminder, if you haven't already, make sure you rate, review, and follow so you don't miss a single second. And for the full Stephen A. experience, head over to ESPN Plus. And if you don't have ESPN Plus, what the hell are you waiting for? Go to ESPNplus.com and sign up now.